comes from a Latin concept, a Latin term, which means coming. And as Christians, as the world now, figuratively speaking, prepares for the coming of Christmas, in a literal sense, we also prepare for the coming of Jesus, not at Christmas time, but for his second coming. And that's up for all of us to prepare. So figuratively speaking, Advent really looks at preparing ourselves for the original first coming of the Messiah. Whereas Advent also takes a leap in faith way beyond that and literally gets us to prepare our lives for Jesus' second coming. And it's all good news because we embark on a journey of hope, of love, of joy, and of peace. And just like the wise men followed a star, I hope we're all going to be wise this Christmas and follow the star that leads to Jesus. Now, we said last week that the star usually plays quite a prominent role in our nativity plays, even on Christmas trees. As I look out to our beautifully decorated Christmas tree in the foyer over there, there is something that resembles a star on it. And we've got stars up there. But actually, the star only appears in one of the four Gospels, and very briefly only in the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 2. But nevertheless, no matter how brief that mention is, and no matter what the star was, and scholars and scientists still debate to exactly what that star may have been, whatever it may have been, whatever it was, and whatever it was not, the message is that that star led people to Jesus. And this Christmas, will you allow what God has put in place? And we looked at some natural revelation last week, and we read from the Psalms that the Lord has put the stars in place, he's put the cosmos in place, he's put the world in place so that we can marvel at his glorious light. So today, we're moving on from hope, and we're moving towards love. And the star signals the brightest love, the love that never fails, the love that never gives up. We all like some of that love in our lives, a love that will never give up. And that's the love of God for each and every one of us. His love never gives up on us. His love is perfect. His love endures forever. His love can surround us on a daily basis, and his love can fill our lives. And we know, moving beyond Christmas to Easter, that his love conquered death and conquered the grave. And his love can give us what the Bible calls, what Jesus called in John 3, the born again experience. With his love in mind, let's go to the video clip to help set the scene. Well, we are following the star to the love that surrounds us and gives us all the love that we need. Anybody think you may just be in the right place this morning? This might just be a message for you. And as we continue our exploration this morning, let me ask you a few questions. How many of you have started your Christmas shopping? Very good, very good. How many of you have actually finished your Christmas shopping? Well, we sort of finished our Christmas shopping yesterday. Everything was bought for Christmas presents except for... Well, we had a great day out anyway. It was fabulous. But they know what I want. So it'll be coming. How many of us wish we could just fast forward all this Christmas shopping and just get to the turkey on Christmas Day? Well, wherever you stand on Christmas gifts or Christmas shopping or giving, in the UK, people tend to spend a lot of money. We can go to the next slide, please, the money slide. People tend to spend a lot of money. It's the next one, I think. Ah, there we go. People tend to spend a lot of money on Christmas. They say that a typical household year in the UK spends over £2,000 each month. If that's not your Christmas spend, they say that's what the typical household spends. But in the run-up to Christmas, our spending habits change quite dramatically, we are told. To begin with, we buy quite a bit more. Can anybody vouch for that? And I actually think this figure is quite low when you look at the overall figure, but they reckon a typical, on average, a household spends over £500 extra in December. I don't know where you are with that. Please don't reveal all this morning, okay? And the increase in our spending reveals a lot about what we get up to around Christmas. And it won't come as a surprise to you that the next slide shows the increases. We spend, or they say, in the UK, people spend a lot more on going out, eating food, drinking alcohol, and spending money on gifts and family. And although the UK consumers, at this stage, we are all pressurized by rising inflation, there's an expected increase this Christmas time of 5% over last year's Christmas spend in the November to December Christmas spend, which puts an extra £4 billion into the season's economy, which will take our total spend this Christmas season in the UK up to just shy of £79 billion. Unbelievable, but the rate people shopping in Oxford Street yesterday, I can quite believe it. And we may sometimes feel that we show love through our gifts. Don't we sometimes think that? Well, the bigger the gift, or the more expensive the gift, the more sparkling the gift, the bigger the diamond is in the necklace, you know, the more the person actually may feel love. Let me ask you, how do you perceive God's love for you? And we could just get to the next slide, please. Get off of that. Okay, that's fantastic. How do you perceive God's love for you? Do we feel we've got to earn His love? Do we feel that God is some person so separated from us and He's sitting up there just waiting to smite us when we think or do the slightest thing wrong? Or do we actually see the overflow of God's love into our own lives and then into the lives of others? Let's dive deep this morning into God's love as we explore a love that entered our world the first Christmas through the person of Jesus Christ. A love that is more than enough for each and every one of us, flowing in our lives, surrounding in our lives, and flowing out to other people's lives. My first point this morning is love ancient. Now, you might not understand what that means. Don't worry about that right now. All will be revealed. We often talk about Christmas time as a time when love came down. Have you heard that before? A time when love came down. And that's correct. We think of a time when God sent His Son Jesus as a baby born in a manger. And that's all true. But we would be mistaken if we didn't take a broader view. We would be mistaken if we didn't take a longer view of God's love. A view back in time. A view way back, not only to the beginning, but to the very eternal nature of God. You see, us Christians love this book, the Bible, because this is actually God's love letter to us. It's a big love letter. I mean, imagine receiving such a big love letter. I remember after my grandfather passed away when I was a teenager, we went to his property to clear it out. And on top of his drawers in his dining room, and as well as on top of the console, he had dug out all the love letters he could find that he wrote to his wife during the war. I can't wait to see you again. Your love keeps me going every day. You won't believe what I'm seeing, but thinking of you gets me through. Wads and wads of love letters. God's love can see us through. This is His love letter to each and every single one of us. And it goes beyond Christmas, all the way back. And it goes backwards. It goes to Christmas. And it goes all the way forward, because God's eternal. And His love for us has always existed. God, my dear friend, is not like some distant uncle who suddenly shows up with a gift that nobody knows what to do with. So Jesus wasn't a gift that nobody knew what to do with. Jesus came and was prophesied during a very dark time in Israel. And Jesus came during a very dark time politically of the world back then. And Jesus still enters into the dark times of our lives right now. Yes, love came crashing down into a stable in Bethlehem, but love can still come crashing down into our lives. If you look at Psalm 139, this was written hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. God speaking, He said, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." That's David speaking of what God did. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that true well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. You saw my unformed body." Friends, God's love for you goes way back. There's evidence that it goes back to conception. He loves you. He loves you. So His love is ancient. And I want to encourage you this morning to really believe what the Bible says. We could look at the next slide, please. Matt Chandler is a Southern Baptist minister, and this is what he has to say. "If you're not confident in the authority of the Scriptures, you'll be a slave to whatever sounds right." So if we're not confident in this love letter to us, we'll just be slaves. We'll just fall for whatever else comes our way. And God's message, Christmas time, this Advent to us, is to be confident that He loves you. It's an ancient love. It goes way back. It goes all the way back to the eternal heart of God. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and that's on the next slide, Ephesians 1 from verse 4. "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight." Carries on to say that we've been adopted in accordance with His good pleasure, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He's given freely to the ones He loves. Who are the ones He loves? My dear friend, you and me, you and I are the ones He loves, and He gives us His grace freely. We look at the next scripture this morning, talking about His ancient love. 1 John 4:7-8, which Melanie read to us this morning, and thanks for reading that in such a passionate and an alive way to us this morning, Melanie. 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love comes from God." Don't you just love the way John's writing there? He calls his fellow Christians beloved. Imagine passing coffee on this morning, a tea on in the carousel, and saying, "That's for you, my beloved." Isabel at home usually calls me my love. And one of the first, which child was it? I can't remember now. Ruby, you know, used to call me, she was really little, that's all she heard. So she used to look at me and not call me dad, she's called me my love. Of course, she's in high school now. She's not going to say my love anymore, but there we go. But that's the beloved. That's the beloved. Beloved. Beloved, the Bible is full of love. And it says this, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So how do we know if we've been born of God? How do we know if we love God? It's when we love others with God's love. Not our own fleshly love. Not an eros love, which is a sexual love. Not just a phileo love, which is a friendship. Oh, you're my mate, you're cool, you're great. But an agape love. A love that puts your highest good before mine. If we love that way, we know God. If we don't, well, the Bible is quite clear. Because God is love. Interestingly, you see that God is love in the Greek. You can't change it around. You can't say love is God. God is love. So God brings the definition to love. Love doesn't bring the definition to God. So that should open our concept up about who God is. You can't swap it around. It's impossible in the Greek to say love is God. But God is love. See, if we had to say love is God, then God could be anything we want Him to be. He could be the guy who cuddles the Christmas tree. But He's not like that. He is a God of love because He is love. Look at 1 John 3 verse 10. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil can be distinguished. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not from God. Righteousness is a gift. We can't be righteous in our own accord. Righteousness is what Jesus does. That means God's there and we were once there. And when we accept this love came down, this ancient love, it makes us righteous. It brings us into a right relationship. So righteousness is a big word that just means right relationship. Okay? So anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. My mother used to love to quote that end bit of the scripture to us three boys growing up. Love your brother. The Bible says you must. But brother is really all of those around us. If we don't love our brother, the love of God is not in us. 1 John 4 verse 7. Everyone who has been born of God and knows God. That's talking about the love that comes from God. I don't know about you, I find this a mind-boggling concept. But as we pursue this Advent journey, let's simply accept that God loves us. And that His love for us exists. Beyond time. His love for us exists beyond time, space. His love for us exists beyond our own limited, finite understanding. Because God is infinite. Our understanding is only finite. But let this Advent season be a time where we actually stop to pause. And we spoke about that last week. In today's fast-paced society, where everything in society helps us get along even faster, stopping to pause can be an issue. I encourage you to stop to pause and think, God loves me. Point number two. So point number one is love ancient. Point number two is love abundant. You can see where we're going with this. Have you ever had, you don't have to raise your hand, just a bit of a, it's really a rhetorical question. Have you ever had difficulty loving God? And say, God, I love you. May be some strange words to some of us. Even us who've been following the Lord and serving Him and singing Christian songs and hymns and reading the Bible and reading the Psalms to say, God, I love you, can be a difficult thing. It can also equally, and sometimes even more, be a difficult thing accepting that God loves you. Accepting His love. You know, it changed my life. I was a religious Christian until I experienced the love of the Lord. I was a miserable Christian. Oh, I love Jesus, but His love hadn't washed over me. And once I realized that Jesus accepts me and He loves me, serving Him became the easiest thing out. Because it wasn't about trying my best anymore. It was about just accepting his love and his righteousness, and it happened naturally. You know, sometimes we may doubt that God's love can cover all the pain and the hurt and the selfishness and the evil in our world. Maybe if we have to be really honest with ourselves, my dear friends, we may doubt that God's love can cover the pain and the hurt in our own lives. But despite what we may know in our heads, God wants us to believe in our hearts that even in our daily struggle, He is there for us. And it's not our ability to love Him. It's His ability to love us. And just accepting that. Let me remind you of some good news this morning. We all need good news, don't we? In fact, it's the best news ever. God loves you. If you don't remember anything else except the fantastic preschool singing, remember this. God loves you. And that's what the stars and the sparkles and the trees and the lights. It's to remind us God loves us. Not because of what you've done. Not because of what you haven't done. Not for today and then not for tomorrow and you'll take it all back again. Not like someone who's let you down. Or hurt you, or got some twisted form of love, I'll love you if you do that. Not like someone who will inflict pain or heartache or damage onto you, but like someone who will love you and love you for who you are and will never let you go. You see, God's love is pure. God's love is perfect. And He wants to wholly lavish His love on you. To us. He pours out His love onto us. No matter how unlovable we may feel, no matter how unworthy we may feel, His love is unending. Think of the story, the first Christmas story, and those characters. I think maybe those characters didn't feel like the most lovable people in the world. Think of when an angel appeared to Mary. Do you think she felt worthy of bearing the Son of God? Or do you think they could have felt bewildered, young, average? Wonder how a band of smelly shepherds felt, or a group of foreign mystics. We've got to dig a bit deeper. We've got to dig deeper than the bathrobes, tea towels, and animal costumes of our nativity scene and get the bigger picture. Where would you fit in to that Bethlehem night when Jesus was born? Where do you find yourself now? In the season of long, dark, cold winter nights. No matter where you are on the journey, God loves you. God loves you. And it's an abundant love. He would love to draw you in. Ephesians 3. Paul praying for the church in Ephesians says this, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. So God's got glorious riches. And He wants to strengthen us through the Holy Spirit in our inner being. So that Christ, the one we're thinking of over Christmas, so that Christ may dwell in your heart. Through faith. Now faith kicks in. And I pray, being rooted and established in love. How are Christians rooted in love? How are Christians established in love? You may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. His love, you can't escape it. You can't escape it. Look, I've got a lot more to say on that, but we're going to move to the last point now this morning. love overflowing. I'm sure you've got company coming for Christmas, or you're going somewhere for Christmas. Maybe you've got, or you're going to parents, siblings, aunts, uncles, grandparents. And Christmas is such a wonderful time to get together. But here's the real question. Will anybody get sick of their relatives or guests day three into their visit? God's unending love is unlimited, and He never gets sick of us. Isn't that great? So many people say, I can't bother God with my prayer request. You're not bothering Him. He wants to hear from you. We've prayed about something 20 times already, so carry on. God never gets sick of hearing His children pray to Him. Isn't that great? God doesn't want His love to be contained. The Bible tells us to love others, even the people who seem unlovable. Now that's a big ask. But we saw previously in Ephesians that we are rooted in love. If your roots are love, what's going to be coming out of you? It's in your roots. It's in your roots. We won't talk about the opposite. If it's in your roots, well, just accept the Lord's love. Sometimes it's easy to love the unlovable, and sometimes it's the most difficult thing in all the world. Think again of guests this holiday season. Think of those closest to you. They can sometimes be the people we truly love the most, but they drive us the craziest. You ever find that? Because somehow they bring out the best and the worst. They bring out the weaknesses and the strengths. But sometimes they also bring out the deepest pain. So, folks, on a very practical level, this Advent and this Advent journey of love is about God's love in us, which is an ancient love, overflowing into the hearts and lives of other people. In reality, that's not something we can do on our own. We can try to do it on our own, and we may be successful for the first 5 minutes. It must come from the source of real love. And that's where that scripture on the screen comes in, 1 Peter 1:22. It's a description of that. And I take it from the Living Bible this morning. Now you can have real love. Isn't that amazing? Real love. Remember, that's God's kind of a love. For everyone. Isn't that amazing? It's not saying now you can have real love for the ones you really like the most. Do you know what I love about God? He has no favorites. And it's an amazing thing being in ministry, because you always get to deal with God's favorite child. And we can't show favoritism. God favors. That means His goodness is on our lives. But we don't show favoritism. We see people always through the eyes of Jesus. Rooted in love. Now let's look at Peter again. Now you can have real love for everyone, because your souls have been cleansed from selfishness. So what happens? Remember we spoke about righteousness a little earlier on? Well, this is what happens when Jesus is in us. Our souls are cleansed of selfishness. Let's face it. What keeps us loving one another? Self. Oh, me. I'm going to preserve me. Should be crucified with Christ anyway. No self-preservation in the kingdom. Selfishness and hatred when you trusted Christ to save you. We always hear, He saves us of our sin. Yes, He does. But He also saves us from selfishness and hatred. So see to it that you really do love each other warmly. So He turns up the heat. With all your heart. Friends, it doesn't mean it's easy, but it does mean it shifts our focus from trying our level best to focusing on God and letting His ancient love flow through us. So in conclusion, I'd like to put up the next screen. I want to dig a little bit deeper in our conclusion just before we conclude. It's an example it's a quote from Christine Kane. Christine Kane is a Christian person whose mission in life is to get people out of human trafficking. I've heard her speak on a number of occasions, totally mind-blowing, totally in love with Jesus, her whole life sold out to Jesus. In fact, I heard her preach quite recently in London. She had a family member dying in Australia, but God told her, come and preach in London. He'll take care of the family member. In the natural, people said, you should be with your family member. She said God called her to preach and share His love on a huge platform, touching thousands, tens of thousands of people's lives. She said, God will look after my loved one. I will seek His kingdom first. And this is what she has to say. We need to stop making what people did to us bigger than what Jesus did for us. Just let that sink in. See, there's a barrier between people sometimes when what they did to us is bigger than God's love for us. And I'd like to challenge you. It's been a nice, easy message up until this point. Challenge us this Advent. Maybe take time to pause. Take time to reflect. We need to stop making what people did to us bigger than what Jesus did for us. God's love is bigger than anything anyone has ever done to you or could ever do for you. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the fantastic covers it all. So let's conclude. God is love. I want you to know that this morning. You can rely on God's love. And why do we love? Because He first loved us. God's love is the whole reason why we have Christmas. Let's think about that this Christmas time. But let me challenge you as well to walk in God's love. As it penetrates your heart, let it overflow and penetrate the lives of others. 1 John 3:16. We all know John 3:16 very well, don't we? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But now we go to 1 John, the book just before Revelation in the Bible. 3:16. Sounds very similar. This is what 1 John 3:16 has to say. This is how we know what love is. Quite clear. No beating about the bush. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. Okay, we know that. Now let's think of the overflow. And we ought to lay our lives down for our brothers and our sisters. You see, this Christian life is a deliberate life. We deliberately love. We deliberately lay down offenses. We deliberately live in the righteousness of God. If we don't deliberately do that, the enemy will deliberately get in to destroy. But we have a deliberate love. His name is Jesus. And can I encourage you to prepare your hearts for Jesus this Advent? May I encourage you to open your hearts, to live expectantly for Him, to live purposely for Him, to put His love into practice, to let His love overflow and abide in you. Do you think we could do that this Advent season? Let us pray together. Father God, thank You that in this Advent season, You invite us to follow the star on a journey of love. Help us to experience the depth of Your love, which has been here from the start. It is enough for all of us, and it overflows in our lives to others. Please continue to fill us with expectation as we live in Your love and wait for the complete fulfillment of that love when Christ comes again. Before I say amen, I'd just ask us just to keep our eyes closed and heads bowed for a moment. Maybe you just want to reflect on love. God loves you. And what that means for you. Maybe you want to move forward in that love. I'm not going to put anyone on the spot, but I do want to give you the opportunity to make right with God, if you want to do that this morning. To say, Lord Jesus, I accept your love for me. And this Christmas time, I want to receive you as my Savior. I want to be a child of God. If you want to pray that prayer, with every eye closed and head bowed, this doesn't make you a church member. This doesn't make you religious. Don't worry. This is about a relationship with God. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you forward. I am going to ask you, though, while no one's looking around, just to slip up your hand, because I'd like to privately, in my own prayer time, pray for you and discreetly slip you a little booklet if I can. But if that's you, maybe you would like to pray this prayer with all your heart. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love me. Today I accept your love. Today I accept your love. Please forgive me, a sinner. Please forgive me, a sinner. And come into my life. And come into my life. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for dying for me on the cross and rising again. I accept you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. As my Lord and Savior. Now before we say amen, every eye closed, head bowed, no one looking around this holy moment. If you prayed that prayer, just quickly slip up your hand and take it down again. Anyone like that here this morning? Lord, thank you that our hearts are open to your love. Come and pour out your love in our hearts.